We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
It's Thursday, September 16th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Matt Ford. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smarter Than You. It is our weekend wagering preview where we talk through the biggest college football games of the week and all the NFL action as we have another week of 16 NFL games. We were 3-2 last week in the NFL and a good start to our super contest season. We'll give you our five favorite picks plus some other props we like throughout the week. And of course, the college games. Please rate, review, subscribe if you like listening to this. We really appreciate it. It's good for business when you do that. Matt, how are you, buddy? It was an eventful first weekend of NFL action.
It really was. I'm used to like 3 months to prepare for every game and every line, and now we only have a matter of days. My team plays tomorrow. Like, this is overwhelming. So I don't know. I don't know how we'll do this week. Hopefully we'll hang in there.
I think we'll be okay. We're going to have a mix, I can already tell, of some public plays and some sharp plays. But sometimes those public plays are just okay to have, and we will get into those. But first, college football. Let's go to the biggest, I guess, renewed rivalry of the week before we get to the biggest game of the week. Nebraska at Oklahoma. This old storied Big 12 rivalry has not been played since 2010. It is back this week. And Oklahoma right now sits a 22-point favorite. It is a large favorite for Oklahoma. And I'm going with Oklahoma for a couple of reasons here. One is they have the better coach by far in Lincoln Riley, who is not great against the spread, but often has inflated lines, and the much better quarterback in Spencer Rattler. Scott Frost, Nebraska head coach, has yet to beat a ranked opponent at his time in Lincoln and has only covered 4 of 12 contests against ranked teams. Obviously, Oklahoma is ranked 3rd in the country. Offensively, Nebraska struggles a lot. Adrian Martinez is a quarterback who is better at running the football, the passing the football, which doesn't bode well against an offense in Oklahoma who's going to score a ton of points. They've scored at least 27 points in 65 straight games. 65 straight games. Nebraska last week, offensively, 28 points against Buffalo. One of those was a 70-yard touchdown pass. The other one was a 1-yard touchdown run after a turnover. One play, 1 yard. I think Oklahoma woke up after that Tulane game. Now, they played Western Carolina last week. It was 76-0. But I feel like they're going to understand they cannot let off the gas. Right, they're up 37-14 to Tulane at halftime of week one and won that game 40-35. Right, they scored 3 second-half points. They understand they can't let off the brake here, and it's a rivalry game. And if you look at when Lincoln Riley with either Baker, Kyler, or Spencer Rattler, who are different quarterbacks than Jalen Hurts, whenever they play a big-time game, and who's not Iowa State, they score a ton of freaking points, man. They score a ton of points. And this is not Iowa State, everybody. So I like Oklahoma here minus the 22. I know, big number. You might get it better on Saturday. I have a feeling this is kind of creeping down, Matt. You might get this. If you get under 21, you have to jump on it, man. Even if you're on the fence about it, under 21, which I don't think you'll get to, but give me Oklahoma here.
I mean, who am I to go against you? But here are some things to consider. This opened around 19.5. It's up to 22, which, you know, if you are on Oklahoma, you've kind of maybe missed the number. It's who knows where it's going to go. You've got 96% of the money on Oklahoma, yeah. So it feels like it could keep moving. You mentioned Scott Frost. Obviously, this is an unequal coaching matchup, but he is 6-4 against the spread on the road as an underdog in his last 10, even though they've only won one of those games. And Oklahoma, interestingly, only 15-11 against the spread as a home favorite. So with Rattler and his turnover, you know, his interception issues, this could be one of those backdoor scenarios. I personally would wait on this for Nebraska and see if I can get it up 23, 22 and a half.
I think it's going back the other direction now.
It's an interesting one. I can't believe these spreads where it's like, yeah, I have to lay 22. It's like, my God, it takes a lot of stomach to do.
It does.
it's tough.
But you know, look, we're giving you our thoughts on the big games of the week. Otherwise, I'd just talk to you about, you know, Utah San Diego State, but you guys don't want to hear that. So again, I mean, this is just the advice we're giving you on some of the bigger games of the week. You know, I didn't take this number. I'm not betting on Nebraska either. So yeah. I would lean toward Oklahoma here. Anything more on this game, Matt?
No, let's move to – I think we should move to the game of the week here.
Let's do it.
Yeah, so that's Alabama number one at Florida number 13. Alabama is laying 14 points on the road. This is the first time they've played in Gainesville since 2011. That's crazy. What do you think?
So I like Florida – first half, I got a plus 7.5. This line's coming down too, guys. It was up about 15. It's going back down to 14 now. Here's why I like Florida in the first half in this game. This is Alabama quarterback Bryce Young's first true road game, right? They played that neutral site game against Miami, but this is Gainesville, Florida, the swamp, right? It is going to be loud. It's going to be wild. It's going to be crazy. If there's any time Alabama will struggle this season, it's in this spot, right, Matt? It's in this spot where you're facing a Todd Grantham defense for Florida that's very diverse and multiple in the pressures they bring. They're 15th right now in the country in defensive efficiency. And this is, I think, just a slow start for Alabama. They're more talented than Florida, but they're going to start slow. Dan Mullen, the coach for Florida, is actually pretty good against Saban. He's covered 5 of his last 8 games against Nick Saban, which is not bad, right? They keep these games sort of close. Offensively for Florida, Emory Jones can't play anymore. We'll see if he does play. But this Anthony Richardson kid is averaging 25 yards per carry at quarterback, right? He is a dual threat guy that can run and pass the ball. Those always give Nick Saban defenses trouble. They give every defense trouble, right? But specifically to his defense, because they're out of structure plays, and it's hard for defense to game plan for out of structure plays. So I'll take the – I would even, if you have a little extra money laying around – Florida first half money line might be worth a little sprinkle here, but I'll take Florida first half plus 7.5. And I do think I just the full game number. This feels like, again, like I don't really trust the full game, but I'll take the first half. Again, slow start for Bryce Young on the road, first true road game.
I love that play. That's such a smart read on the game. It looks like we're recording this Wednesday afternoon. It looks like Richardson's going to be fine for the game, which is great. This situation reminds me of like the Dalton Fields situation that's happening in the NFL at the same time. I'm on a group thread with a bunch of bettors who also went to UF, and they were like, if Richardson's playing, we got a chance. Yeah. If Richardson's not playing, do not touch this game. Yeah. And that was good enough for me. I do love that first half play, given, you know, we even saw this in the NFL with you know, the adjustment to a road environment. Look, tons of, I think 96% of the bets or something are on Alabama. So if you like Florida, you know, maybe wait, although this Richardson thing could push it. But yeah, I think your first half play is a nice angle.
Yeah, we have to try to find some angles on some of these, but I this is one of those that I did wager on. Like again, I do wager on all the NFL games we talk about. I put it in there because that's what we do, right?
Got to walk the walk.
Yeah,
of course.
All right, let's get to one more bigger game this week before we get to one game out west. That's Auburn at Penn State. What do you got, Matt, on that one?
Yeah, Auburn at Penn State. Let's set that up. Penn State, their first whiteout game in 2 years. They're favored by 6. What an intriguing game. I'm very curious what you think.
So this is, again, same as we saw with kind of Bryce Young. Now, Bo Nix has played a lot of football, but Bo Nix at Auburn has just kind of been okay. This is Brian Hartson's first game, first true road game, right? They played like Bethune-Cookman and Akron State or something like that in the first two games under Brian Hartson. Now they're on the road in a whiteout game, and the line is now under a touchdown, right? Penn State is favored by 6 here. Penn State's defense, I think, is going to suffocate Alabama's offense. Going on the road for the first time is very tough. The issue that I see for if you're backing Penn State is that Sean Clifford, their quarterback, is just okay. He's just okay, but they already have a ranked win at Wisconsin. A lot of people, a lot of sharps put money on Ball State last week to cover against Penn State. Guess what? Penn State blew them out. Penn State covered that game. I think Penn State's a better team right now. They're at home. It's under a touchdown. It's hard for me to see Auburn keeping this game. They played no one near the level of Penn State so far this year. Penn State's already played Wisconsin. They're already seasoned. They're ready to go. They're at home, whiteout. Give me Auburn here under a touchdown at -6.
How about a little three-team tease, Jeff? How about you tease Penn State down to either a pick or getting a point? Maybe you tease down Oklahoma to maybe two touchdowns or so. Maybe tease down Bama. What do you think of that? Maybe like a little favorite 7-team, 3-team tease.
Okay, so we take Alabama to 7, and we take – oh, what was it? It's 6 or 7 points. What are we doing?
Let's see. We currently have Bama at 14, so, yep, we can just make that at even 7.
Even 7. We get Penn State at +1. Yep. And we would get Oklahoma now at what, 15 and a half? 15, I should say?
Yep, 15.
Okay.
It's not bad.
I wouldn't mind that. I'd be concerned about the Alabama one, though. I don't know. Like I said, I don't really 7 points. They're going to win that game. The thing about that game, too, real quick, you bet that game is if Alabama blows out Florida, there's no chance to lose to anyone this season. And I get that they're probably not going to lose anyone anyways. But all the hope, like, oh, maybe Georgia can play well against them, or maybe Clemson can play well, or Ohio State, or Oregon, or whoever else it is. No chance. Zero chance. It is over right now. If Florida, if Alabama with Bryce Young is a first-time starter, go into the swamp in a packed Gainesville and blow out a good Florida. Florida would be a favorite over 120 teams in the country right now, right? Go in there and dominate. Oh, boy. So I'm good with that teaser. We should give out more teasers, I think, sometimes, especially on the NFL side. Like, there's a lot of opportunities to have teasers. We just obviously don't do that quite often because that's not really – because we're just picking 5 games against the spread. But there's a lot of teaser opportunities that always feel easy. They're never that easy. But yeah, that's where we're at right now.
Yeah, the teasers bailed me out last week. I had kind of a tough week. Everyone did. And yeah, the teasers can be a nice way to play.
We went 3-2, and the under I gave hit. I went 4-2 in NFL. I'll take it.
Yeah, I loaded up on the Texans. Thank God that covered some serious investment in Tampa and Washington.
Well,
we'll get to the NFL. Why don't we hit our last our game out west? So, it's Arizona State at BYU. The Sun Devils are laying 3.5.
Yeah, and BYU's been a great team at home. Over the last couple of years, but they're off their biggest win in years. They beat Utah in the Holy War, ending a 9-game losing streak. And they did it in, it was okay. It was just okay. I mean, Utah, I watched that game, and it felt like more of a failure of Utah. I mean, BYU only averaged 4.94 yards per play on offense. On defense, they only had 7 havoc plays. They just like didn't play all that great and won this game. They didn't play all that great and beat Arizona a couple weekends ago, 24-16. There's a lot of smoke and mirrors with them. Here's one right here. Their defense is only allowing 27% on third down right now, but they're allowing 70% of passes to be completed and near 5 yards of carry on the ground. It just feels like a lot of smoke and mirrors with this BYU team. Arizona State comes in with Jaden Daniels, who's a dual-threat quarterback, already 165 yards rushing this year, 73% passing. Again, they're playing Southern Utah and UNLV. But I think Arizona State, BYU off that big emotional win. Arizona State overwhelms them with their speed and talent. I think Arizona State covers here -3.5.
It's interesting. That seems to be the logic for most of the things I've read this, over the last few days. To the flip side of this argument, just to have it, is Arizona State hasn't played anyone yet, right? And they sort of ran away late against UNLV and before that against Southern Utah. So this is a huge step up in competition for them. And I get it off the emotional win, but like BYU's coming home. This is Arizona State's first road game. It's obviously a crazy environment there at BYU. You know, it from the NFL betting perspective, right? Like this is a short home dog against a team that hasn't played anybody. Like this actually feels like a nice spot for BYU if you like them here. So I'm curious what you think of that.
Well, it definitely is. I just don't think BYU is that good. I think Utah just played a really bad game. My radio co-host, Sean O'Connell, is a Utah grad, and he has said that that was one of the most lackadaisical games he's seen Utah play under Kyle Whittingham. Like the lack of effort and just kind of the idea of rolling their helmet out and winning because they're Utah and they've won 9 straight years that's the reason why this game was lost more than like BYU schematically beating them. And I think Arizona State just is just more talented. Again, they have a much better quarterback here. So I get what you're saying. And again, BYU's 5-1 against the spread as an underdog the last 6 games. They've won 10 straight home games, but they haven't played a team like Arizona State in a while.
Yeah. Well, the Sharps and the public are both on Arizona State, which is usually a sign that it's either a slam dunk or it's one that everyone missed. So I think you're probably right. And who am I to go against the Pac-12 expert here? Real quick, before we fully transition to the NFL, this is a good bridge. Did you see that there was a report today that Urban Meyer is definitely not interested in the USC job? That came up at a press conference after 1 week at Jaguars headquarters? Like, what are we doing here? This is going to be a brutal season, Jeff.
It's going to be pretty bad. Josiah Johnson is maybe the best Twitter.
Great follow.
Follow on Twitter. And he tweeted out a picture of, I don't know what the name of the USC, I think it's just Trojan Man, I guess is who he is, but the guy who kind of rides Traveler and leads the marching band. And he said he took a picture of him on a knee and said, how Urban Meyer pulling up to the Jags Halloween party, like in his full USC costume. I don't think he's going to USC. I just saw a tweet, by the way, that said USC will not use a search firm to hire a new coach. Yeah, they don't need to. They have Twitter to do that for, because every single coach who's ever coached. So there's been about, we have the normal names, right? We have Matt Campbell, Luke Fickell, and Oregon's coach Mark Cristobal, and we've had James Franklin and Bill O'Brien, and Brennan, the guy from San Jose State, who's an up-and-coming guy. We've heard about Joe Brady. We've heard about, I think there's a Clemson assistant coach as well that's been in the mix. We've heard Colin Coward mentioned Doug Peterson, Matt Nagy, like every coach who's ever coached. Urban, Bob Stoops, who's ever coached a game, is going to be mentioned for this USC job. And we have 4 months to hire someone, basically. And it's going to be a long, winding road to figure out who this coach is. I do not think it's Urban Meyer, though. So he's got his own issues to deal with. Plus, the thing about USC, too, is if you're hiring a coach, Urban has shown he's not staying at one place for a long period of time. So if you hire, is it worth it to have, basically, let's say you have him for 4 years. Obviously, if you win a title, it's worth it. What if you don't? You kind of wasted 4 years again. So I don't think he's going there. But let's go to the NFL now. We're 3-2 last week.
Yep.
It's a fun week of games. You text me beforehand that you're going to blow my mind at some point. So I'm waiting for this to happen in this podcast. Just be aware, guys, for Matt to throw out a take nugget as he texted me. But let's get going with Thursday night football.
I like that you don't know where it's going to come. And I'm going to tell you this. It's going to come where you least expect it. It's going to come out of nowhere, and you're going to be like, how is this the thing you were digging in on this week? I'm surprising myself.
I'm looking forward to this nugget, but let's start with Thursday night football. Your football team, the Washington football team, is yes. playing the New York football Giants.
Yeah. What a mess of a game for Thursday. Washington right now is a 3.5-point favorite. Obviously no Ryan Fitzpatrick. The total on this is 40.5, which is insane. There are some games that are in the 50s. What's your lean here?
So, Giants have been Washington 5 times in a row, and they've covered 4 of those games. They were 6-1 last year as a road dog for the Giants, 10-2 in their last 12 in that role as well.
That's the spread, yep.
And I would lean Giants here, but the problem with this game and why I'm not wagering on it, maybe you are, or maybe you want to put it in there, is that Daniel Jones is terrible in a turnover machine. And I just don't trust him. And their offensive line has some shuffling around to do in a short week. Guys in and out of the lineup against Washington, too. I think, look, Washington's defensive line kind of got embarrassed by the Chargers. The Chargers, and I, look, we might have won that game had Fitz played still. We don't know. Obviously, Fitz was out early in that game. But Chargers offensive line kind of embarrassed that defensive line. And I think they're going to get after the Giants. The under, again, there's no value in the under either. I mean, I think that's the under is the play here if you're betting anything in this game. But I'm not touching this game.
Yeah, I'm not either. I went in the last 24 hours, I've gone full Washington, full Giants, you know, because the idea of, you know, bringing Heinicke in there and everyone just thinking like, well, him and Fitzpatrick, they're about the same. Like, we don't know that. The thing about, and Daniel Jones owns this team. He's 8 wins in the NFL and 4 of them are against Washington, which is obviously insane. So I think this is probably a layoff game. It's hard to get a read here, and don't bet on a backup quarterback in his first start. That's not usually a good idea.
I am 100% with you. Oh, let's get to the next game.
Yeah. Okay. Our first game on Sunday is, wow, this, I mean, 6 Saints offensive coaches tested positive for COVID. So we'll see where this line goes. We have it at 4 right now. The Saints are laying 4 in Carolina. We don't know where this is going to end up, but let's pretend it's just going to stay here. What do you think?
The Panthers won a game against the Jets by 5 points last week. I don't think they're very good right now. And Matt Rhule is 2-6 against the spread at home. The Panthers are 2-9-1 against the spread the last 12 at home. And they're just not very good at quarterback right now. Offensive line's a concern. Defensively, they're good on defense. But the Saints team, let's take Jameis out of the equation. They're a very loaded roster, right? Offensive, defensive lines are elite. Secondary's played really well. Great linebackers as well. Adding Jameis Winston playing well. I would lean Saints here, but with the coaching situation, and look, it's division rival. Jameis only threw one pass over 20 yards last week. So I'm off this game, but I think if there was a side, it's the Panthers plus 4.
Interesting. I think I'd go the other way, but it's a layoff for me. We do this. I bring this stat up every year. There's each McCaffrey and Dalvin Cook each have a divisional kryptonite. The Saints kind of own McCaffrey. He started 6 games against the Saints. The Panthers are 1-5. He has a total in those 6 games of 193 rushing yards and 364 receiving yards, which like actually sounds pretty good. But when you break that down, especially compared to how he performs against everyone else, not great. And by the way, most of those passing yards came in one blowout loss the first time he ever played them. So I think that Carolina, you're kind of getting at the peak of their value. They barely beat Zach Wilson in his first start on the road, right? It was a nice win, fine. A lot of props, a lot of like, oh, maybe Darnold isn't so bad. I think we're kind of catching them at the top of the market, and then everyone's sort of not giving the Saints enough credit, I don't think, for absolutely demolishing the Packers. Like, whether or not we're throwing that game out. Yeah, like, it might not matter at the end. It might not make sense in a few weeks, but like, you would think the pendulum would like heavily swing towards the Saints, but people are just so afraid of Winston. So look, I think the coaching thing is just kind of strange. You don't really know how to play that. This is a layoff, I think, just for that reason. But I would not be shocked if this was another Saints ass kicking.
Yeah, I think there's too many things that we don't know about here to wager on this game.
Yeah, it's a pass. Two passes, two interesting games though. Next one, man, Bengals at Bears. Oh, this is at 2 now, interestingly. So Chicago is only laying 2 to Joe Burrow's Bengals.
I think the Bengals are the play here. With Joe Burrow, they're 7-3-1 against the spread. He looked pretty good the other day. The offensive line had some issues inside. The tackles played pretty well. And the Bears defense just looked old against the Rams. Rams came out and kind of had their way with them. They've only covered 1 of their last 6 as home as a favorite. They're 3-7 at home since 2010 as a home favorite. I guess they're not a home favorite very often. But I would I actually go Bengals here, but it was like 4 this week, 3.5 this week.
Yeah.
2 is not the best number, but I do think the Bengals are going to win this game.
I don't think I could possibly stomach putting this in our five. This is like textbook
overreaction.
Bet the Bears. It's textbook bet the Bears here, right? Because everyone, right? We're not doing that. Everyone came in and was like, man, the Bengals, like they're garbage. And then, you know, they beat Minnesota and we'll see what, you know, that was kind of a crazy game, right? There was a Dalvin Cook questionable fumble. It was overtime. There are lots of things that could have gone wrong there. The fact that this is a two, this is a Bears play, the smart play. You also could have Justin Fields come in this game, right? Like he came in at the end of the Rams game. The Rams game, like, by the way, like wasn't a total blowout, like the whole game. It just kind of, you know, at the end, it just was so obvious and they put Fields in and whatever. I don't know, man. This one is a little fishy to me. I think this is a little bit of a trap because everyone's going to want to bet the Bengals this week. No one is going to want to touch the Bears.
Yeah, I'm stay away, but if we do, it's got to be the Bengals.
Ugh, pass. All right, 0-3. Let's talk about, I think, the biggest line on the board here, Houston at Cleveland. Cleveland's 12.5-point favorites. Thoughts?
Can I interest you in a Houston first half? I know that's not what we do here, but the Browns just lost their Super Bowl, guys. They just lost the game they prepared for all offseason to play. And I saw a Baker Mayfield, or someone, not a quote from Baker, but someone on the team who's told the media that Baker and Jarvis Landry had to have a talk with the team about keeping their heads up for the rest of the season. Week one, we're already talking about like being depressed. And look, they lost in horrific fashion. They 3 turnovers in the second half, and they're just not as good as the Chiefs. They're just not ready. Baker Mayfield's not ready for that life. But Houston's off a big win against Jacksonville. They're just not a very good team still. They beat a very bad Jacksonville team.
Huh.
But the full game, if we had to take this, you take Houston, right? 12.5 points. It's a lot of points. I don't think the Texans are as bad as people think. They're fun to laugh at, but they do have some talent on their team. But I think if you're willing to play this game, it's Texans first half. Are you leaning Browns here?
I am so intrigued by this take because I actually was on Cleveland and was going to make not an impassioned case by any means, but a case for them. This in the preseason, this was like 13.5, and now it's 12.5. So we're giving Houston a point here for beating a rookie in his first start and Urban Meyer, which may be a total disaster. And Cleveland not getting any credit for a really nice performance against the best team in the league, probably. I could see that. I mean, you raised all those points. That has me a little bit concerned, but I could also see this one just being an absolute ass kicking, like coming to Cleveland, right? Home opener, I think, right? Like,
I think it's fair. Couldn't you do this game, Texans first half, Browns full game? I mean, it's a little exotic.
I guess. But yes. I feel like that'd be a strange game.
Yeah. Well, no, not really, right? I mean, if the first half it's a close game and the Browns second half just kind of rush over them at the end. Worth pointing out here that Browns only covered two of their past 8 as a favorite.
Huh. Yeah, this is the kind of game that they tend to blow. Here's a teaser game for us. This is a good 7-pointer.
It is
to pair with 2 others. Let's flag that. Yeah, this is a pass. You don't want to take a team favored by this much. Good survivor pick though. Like them for that. They Browns have a little bit of a tougher schedule coming up, so I'll be going with them in survivor. So all right, we're 4 or 5 down now, and nothing on the board here. Maybe this will be one of them. The Rams are playing the Colts, laying 3.5 in Indy. I hate the Colts.
You know, yes, and we're betting the Rams. It's done. We're not betting on the Colts. Guys, I have been anti-Colts the entire offseason, and they showed exactly why I'm anti-Colts in the first game. They look like crap on offense because Carson Wentz is not good. Dan Orlovsky, who is the biggest defender of old Carson Wentz and them, he tweeted this out. Okay, the Colts need to spend time and emphasize on Carson Wentz and his drops in the shotgun. Get the catch and hop out of his game. They need to get much faster, which will help the quick game catch timing. And when are they going to do this? In the middle of the season? This is what training camp was for, right? And he didn't play in training camp. He's off a foot injury, and now he's back against a Rams defense who looked a little bit less than we thought, less than last year, which we thought was going to happen. But nonetheless, played well against the Bears. But offensively, they're coming in with sort of the same offense that Seattle ran, right? This McVay-Shanahan offense we know that they're good at, that Seattle started to run. And Seattle hit him with a ton of play action pass. Guess what the Rams do? A ton of play action pass. And guess what they do? Take deep shots. And guess what Russell Wilson did? Take deep shots. Like, to me, this feels like it's under four now. It wasn't at four most of the week. And it might get to three by kickoff. But give me the Rams minus 3.5 here. I don't give a shit if it's a public play. I do not. Last week, we took Seattle. Same spot. Public play on the road. Don't take Seattle because Carson Wentz and they play defense and blah, blah, blah. Aaron Donald's going to chew them up. It's the left tackle situation. Still a problem for Indy. Had some issues last week. I think the Rams win this game going away.
I'm willing to put it through to the contenders. I'm going to give you three stats that make no sense. Are you ready for them?
Yeah.
First of all, Indy is 0-4 against the spread as home dogs in Reich's tenure. What is that? That's insane. Number two, Sean McVay, in his first 2 weeks of the season, right? So week one, week two, he's 7-1 straight up. The only time he lost was the first year in week two, where he was playing his former team, the Washington.
You want to know why? You want to know why that is? Because he spends all offseason with new plays, comes out and kicks people's ass with. And Frank Reich, the stat about that just shows you his team has not been that good, right? Like, home dogs like have to kind of have some, like, a little bit of like juice. Grit and something. And just, I think they just don't have that sometimes. And not with Carson Wentz, they don't.
Well, here's the third stat. Frank Reich, we talked last week, he's winless in his season openers. Yeah. That trend held. He's also never lost in week two. How bizarre is that? It's so interesting that maybe there's an adjustment. Having said all of that, I do think the Rams are the play. If we can get them, I mean, I would love three.
Well,
we're doing this
on Wednesday, so we have to give 3.5.
Let's lock the 3.5. I'm fine considering it for the next round. It's obviously that's a crap number and a road team in a, you know, against a team that just lost their home opener that should ostensibly be kind of good.
This line was at one, by the way, till after this game. So yeah,
that's worrisome to catch it this late, but I'm willing to consider it still.
Yeah.
Because come on, what are we doing here? All right, so that's a maybe. Let's move to Denver at Jacksonville. Denver is laying 6 at Jacksonville. Are we gonna do it?
Are we gonna do which one?
I mean, the play is Jacksonville.
I know.
That would definitely be what you do here. Preseason, Denver was favored by 1.5. Now they're up to 6. I think this is again the stink of Houston sort of wearing off here and carrying into the second week, where everyone was like, "Man, if they can't beat Houston, they must be terrible."
Yeah, but my issue here with taking Jacksonville is Vic Fangio, the Broncos coordinator, is going to just make life miserable for Trevor Lawrence. I mean, you have to hope this game like is 13-10 to cover this. I mean, it's just not. I just don't see Jacksonville scoring. That's the problem. It's like, I'm with you on taking the home dog at 6.5, 6 points. Everyone's betting on Denver this week. I mean, I imagine Denver is getting all the bets this week, but
yeah.
Oh dude, it's that matchup scares the shit out of me.
I mean, let's just say this. This is one in theory that we should take, right? This is a not a great team laying 6 on the road for, you know, after a really bad week. It's an overreaction. Having said that, I'm not really interested in doing it. I mean, Jacksonville, you know, this Urban Meyer thing seems to have no floor. Like, I don't see them being like, yeah, come on, they'll get it together. Like, look at their infrastructure. Like, look at all the veterans. Like, it's a ton of rookies. It's a ton of guys who still don't, like, haven't played a lot together with a coach who doesn't know the league super well. Like, and it's Teddy Bridgewater who covers. Like, that's a part of this too. I just think this number is crazy.
Yeah, I just would stay the heck away from this game.
Yeah, let's just pass it, dude, because screw that. We're not gonna use our platforms to thousands of listeners to say bet the Jaguars. We're better than that.
Millions of listeners.
Tens of millions.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
One of the AFC East battles, let's start with Buffalo. 3.5-point road favorites at Miami. Public is all over Buffalo here, 75% of the bets, and a big discrepancy in the money that I don't have in front of me. What do you think here?
It's got to be the Dolphins, right?
Yeah.
With all the money on Buffalo here, Buffalo didn't look very crisp against Pittsburgh. Now, part of that was because Pittsburgh defensively just really got after Buffalo's offensive line. And the Dolphins can play defense. We know that right now. Tua does worry me a little bit. You know, he's a quarterback that's – everything's kind of very scripted and very, very orderly. Like if it gets out of order, it's a little bit tough for them. But since early 2019, the Dolphins are 21-7 against the spread. Like Flores is handling his job because they play good defense and great special teams. I think, look, divisional – home dog with a lot of money on the visitor. I feel like Miami's a play here.
It's funny. I had a whole Buffalo take ready to go. And as soon as you started talking, I was like, of course it's Miami. I mean, the thing that kind of worried me was last year, I forgot about this.
Their asses kicked, yes.
Yeah. And it was a game where Miami needed to win and Buffalo was already in the playoffs and they won. They put up 56 and Tua threw three picks. Buffalo... desperate, right? Like they're a team that's desperate for a win, but I think I agree with you. Like that, first of all, the 3.5 is brutal if you're laying it with Buffalo. And this is just 101 stuff, right? Like you take the home team that's getting all that everybody's going against them with the road favorite and they're getting a good number. You gotta take Miami here.
You have a home team, a cold weather team too, going on the road to play a hot game, get a divisional opponent. And all the money's on the visitor. Like this feels like a spot that we historically would take a good coach team. It's not Jacksonville, right? But it's a good coach team getting over a field
really
goal.
Good. Yeah, I like it. I like Buffalo. I actually think too. You're Miami. You're this, Miami. Excuse me. Yeah, I think you'll probably get a chance to get this at 4. If you're in on the Dolphins, I would keep an eye out for that. And in fact, I'm pretty sure we're not quite there, but we're getting there. All right, let's move Miami through. The other AFC East game is New England at the Jets. New England's 6-point home favorites at Zach Wilson's Jets.
6-point road favorites, right?
Yes.
Yeah, this is just a no play. I got nothing for you here. The Jets are just not good. They're at their left tackle now. Not very talented on defense. Zach Wilson was just okay in week one. Now he gets to face Bill Belichick. Who obviously, eats up younger quarterbacks. I'm New England's getting 6. Their favorite. I'm not doing it, man. I'm not touching it. What are you thinking?
Here it comes, Jeff. Here it is. I like the New York Jets +6 this week, and I'm going to tell you why. Okay. This stupid trend of Bill Belichick playing against rookies. Like I get it, right? He dominates rookies straight up. Okay, but when you actually take a look at the numbers, he's what, 20-5 or something against rookies. When you actually look at the against the spread numbers, it's closer to 500. But here's the thing with all of these trends over time, right? He had Tom Brady, okay? New England, since 2003, they're 58.4% against the spread, by far the best in the league. Without Tom Brady, they're 7-10 against the spread. They're a totally different team. These numbers about like how great he is against rookie quarterbacks, do you think a game in 2004, where they beat Luke McCown, or 2007 against Trent Edwards, or EJ Manuel in 2013. Like, do people really think that matters? I get the Mekhi Becton thing is brutal. It's bad. But the line has moved from 3 to 6. Like, every single person is doing the like, well, it's Belichick. Well, it's rookie quarterbacks. Well, they also have a rookie quarterback. This is his first road game ever. And last week, the Patriots lost to the Dolphins. Tua was the 30th rated passer on PFF last week. He was terrible, and they still beat the Patriots. Like, the Patriots just might not be that good. Like, I think that we have to possibly accept that. 6 points for a team that, by the way, just played a road game against the Panthers, didn't look terrible, and Zach Wilson's first start. I think that this is, like, Everybody's psyching themselves into the Patriots here, and we have a real opportunity with the Jets. This isn't the same Jets team, just like this isn't the same Patriots team.
You know what, buddy? This is a classic hold your nose and bet game, and we won one last week with the Houston Texans, and let's go back to the New York Jets. Gabe's going to lose his shit when he listens to this, but that's his own problem. So New York Jets plus six. I'm with you here. Couple other little odd trends here. Let me pull the trends up, the trend page up here. Where's the scheme? Okay, Belichick's only covered 5 of his last 14 against the Jets. Odd, right? Pats were 2-6 against the line last season, on the road, I should say. And Jets have covered last 4 or 5 at home. Now, obviously, new coaching staff and whatnot. But you know what? I'm with you here. I think this is, look, especially since the Patriots want to run the football, right? They want to keep games within 6 points. Like, that's their goal, right? I mean, they would have beat the Dolphins by 3, most likely, and then they don't even cover that game either, right? They're in field goal range before the fumble. So I'm good with the Jets here. We don't have a lot of games either on here, so we need to start adding them in, and I'm good with the
one other
the Jets
thing
on the
here.
List.
Last year, Belichick lost to Tua, who was not even a good rookie quarterback. He lost to Tua last year, okay? Tom Brady was not there. Here's the other thing. In that epic streak of all these rookie quarterbacks he beat, he lost to Russell Wilson in his first start. He lost to Mark Sanchez in his first start. It happens. It also helps that he played a lot of bad quarterbacks. Like, look at the rest of the AFC East and, frankly, the AFC. Like, he beat Ben Roethlisberger by 1 point. He beat Deshaun Watson by 3. Those were both covers, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it's a little bit of smoke and mirrors, this whole fucking Belichick thing. Let's go. Let's go, Jets.
I love it. Let's go.
I love it.
Let's go, Jets. J-E-T-S. Jets.
That will either be a brilliant call or the stupidest call I've ever made, but I'm willing to put myself out there and let's see. Okay. It's a great game here. San Francisco going to Philly. San Francisco, 3.5-point road favorites. Another one I've gone back and forth on 100 times. Where are you?
Yeah, I don't feel like playing this game for a couple of reasons. So one, the Eagles offensively look pretty good with Hurts. Offensive line is back healthy, look great. But a lot of like college kind of like trick'em dick'em stuff from the Eagles. And it's hard to like really buy into this offense until I see more from their offense. Niners defense is good. We know that. But it just feels like too much. Eagles defensive line played well. In that game against Atlanta, Niners, you know, going across the country now after a game that they're staying on the East Coast, by the way. But I don't know. It doesn't feel like there's a play here outside the Eagles, but I don't really trust the Eagles.
Yeah, right I now. Kind of feel like this either is a makeup blowout after kind of making it close last week for SF, or the Eagles are actually kind of good and they come out and they cover this or even flat out win it.
Is it too early to know
and
that,
I also
though?
Think the Eagles are going to be one of those teams. I think the Eagles are still going to end up like 6-11 or something like that, but I wouldn't be stunned if they start out 2-0. You said it. I think they were just like a little bit gimmicky last week. Kyle Shanahan is only 4-6 against the spread as a road favorite with San Francisco. So this isn't like the spot where everyone, you know, where you make money generally. And plus, this is a great number for a home dog that actually like beat the shit out of a team last week, right? Like, they were really good. I could see Philly winning this one outright, but I could also see that being the stupidest call of all time. So I'm very comfortable laying off of this.
Yeah, I'm just not. There's better games to have here.
All right, let's pass on that. Another really fun one after overreactions. Man, these are great games this week. Vegas at Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is laying 5.5 currently. John Gruden said Darren Waller was the best player he ever coached. No Simeon Rice, no Derek Brooks, no John Lynch.
That's so silly.
Interesting.
Yeah. Pretty silly. I think the under is the play here, by the way. You know, Pittsburgh's offense did not look terribly good last weekend. Remember, they scored on a block kick. And their offensive line had some issues up front. And the Raiders, obviously, short week, big overtime win going across the country now. I think they're going to be tough to score on Pittsburgh and tough to score for the Raiders to score on them. I think I'm staying away from this game, but I would lean the under here. I don't feel have a great feel for
under is a nice play at 47. This is a pass for me. I will say that Ben Roethlisberger graded out, I think, is the worst quarterback in PFF last week or second worst. he did not play well, and they still beat Buffalo. It wasn't comfortable by any means, but they still went to Buffalo and beat them.
Yeah.
I don't exactly know what to do with that. I feel like Pittsburgh might end up having a similar season to last year where they just like wrap teams up at the beginning, an injury happens, and then they kind of fade. But that could be really bad news for Buffalo, which would support our thinking earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where I'm at with that game.
Steelers, I think, are going to win, you know, like Raiders coming off that crazy win flying across the country for an early window game Sunday is not a great advantage for them. But I don't know. Yeah. Okay. Minnesota at Arizona. We've got 4.5 for Arizona currently. Everyone's all over Kyler Murray. Everyone's off Kirk Cousins. What do you think?
Oh boy. So I don't want to overreact to week one because I'm not on that high on Arizona, and Arizona has played very well the start of seasons, and really Kingsbury has been good the start of seasons, and the Vikings just did look like dog shit, and this line is obviously going to be inflated in a direction. I just would stay away from this. But I think I would. I don't even have a lean. Do you have a lean on this?
Yeah, my lean is Minnesota. I think what's interesting here, I'm trying to find what the preseason line was here, because this one didn't really move despite one of the most, I guess, like stunning results of week one. Like it just seemed like everyone was like really floored. Yeah, they were 3.5-point dogs, the Vikings, going into the season, and then Vegas only moved it a little despite all that interest. So that to me means that they maybe know something or have a lean. The thing with Minnesota is next week they play Seattle, and they've never beaten Russell Wilson. And then the week after that they play Cleveland, and they're playing against Kevin Stefanski, who is their former offensive coordinator. They kind of need this one. And Arizona, like, everything went right for them, right? Like, it was the first game for Todd Downing in Tennessee. Yeah. Derrick Henry didn't do anything. Taylor Lewan clearly was not 100% and had some other stuff going on, maybe. I kind of think that might have been a little bit of an inflation, but it concerns me that we can't get a better number here. So I would put Minnesota on the board, but also this game could be a blowout and Mike Zimmer could be fired by week five. I think he's too good of a coach for that.
We'll put Minnesota down on the maybe pile because there's a couple games left here that I just are going to be bet. So okay, I'll put them on the maybe pile. And if you try to convince me to take the dog in this next game, I'm not going to try too hard.
It's Tampa Bay laying 12 against the Falcons. The Falcons, I mean, we just need to never bet the Falcons early in the season ever again. We just can't do it. Since I've known you, Jeff, I think me too. Yeah.
I've lost more money
than only through like weeks one through five, because then we get it and we're like, we're not touching this team, but it's like an early lesson we have to pay every single year. I don't know. I will say, Jeff, this line has moved from 9.5 to 12. One of the biggest swings of the week. I will also say that last year in week 15, when Tampa was on that magical run that was sort of just starting, the Falcons were actually up 17-0 with 4 minutes left in the third quarter and lost. So they do tend to play fairly close, but I don't know. We're not touching Atlanta.
We're
not
betting
against the Bucs right now. No chance.
We're
14 we're just maybe. Not 14 and a
not
half.
Not doing it.
Late games start with Dallas at the Chargers. Chargers are 3-point home favorites, but LOL, it's going to be all Cowboys fans. So what do you think?
I don't really have a read on this game. Do you?
I think this is a great game for Dallas, right? Like, they get the little bit of extra rest. They're going to a friendly field, you would think. Last week, I mean, you said it earlier, like, the Chargers kind of got lucky, right? Like, granted, you know, they got some bad luck with that crazy Herbert fumble out of the end zone thing. But Gibson fumbled it basically the next play. Fitzpatrick went out. The Washington defense was about as bad as I've seen them look under Ron Rivera. Maybe they got a little too obsessed with themselves. I just don't think the Chargers like made a big statement. And I think Dallas did. Like, and furthermore, the way that Dallas wins games is they get into a track meet. And that's the way that the Chargers are going to have to try to win this game. It's not like they're going to ball control it with, you know, Larry Roundtree and Austin Eckler. Like, this is going to be a shootout, and that favors Dallas. I think I like them on the money line.
Yeah. Oh, no. I just don't have a feel for this game at all. Like, I just think – I mean, it's possible that the Cowboys do bounce back here, but defensively they're kind of a wreck. And Herbert was – I'll say this. Herbert was good. Charge offensive line was good. The what?
Keenan Allen was great too.
Yeah, and I don't want – and we're not going to overreact to one Chargers game. I just – I feel like there are still better plays on the board. But I'm willing to think about Dallas.
I'm let's put them on the maybe list, but you keep teasing that you've got some other feel here. So maybe it's this one. Is it Tennessee going to Seattle?
Yes.
Seattle's 5-point home favorites.
I don't care. Yeah. Again, if this is the public play, do not care less about this. A couple things to consider here. Under Arthur Smith, who's now the faculty coach, the Tennessee Titans were a heavy, heavy play action team. Like, that's what they did. They ran a ton of play action pass. Guess what they didn't do week one with Todd Downing as their OC? Play action pass. 2 times. 5% of their snaps were play action pass. On the other side, Seattle ran a ton of it. And guess what? They're good at it. Because guess what? Russell Wilson's good, right? Like, the Titans, to me, defensively, first of all, were a wreck last season as well, right? Come out week one after knowing you need to be better on defense. Guess what? Arizona torches them. Torches them. Seattle doesn't have Chandler Jones. I get that. But now they're back home. Titans are flying across the country too. Seattle, by the way, who had no fans last year. Their fans are all back. They're going to be screaming, yelling. It's going to be loud. And I just don't trust Tennessee's offense to just all of a sudden decide to be something they weren't. They practice all through training camp doing one offense, which is not a lot of play action pass, obviously. And now they're going to start doing it all over again. Remember, they were very successful with one style of football. Run the ball, play action pass. And the Cardinals, out of all teams, made it look like shit in week one. So it's a huge overreaction. I get it. We're overreacting to week one here a little bit, but we're waiting for Seattle to run a semi-normal offense for a while now. It looks like they have in week one, and that has to really excite you. And in a situation too where we've seen over the years, Seattle kind of make us look foolish in games that we wager on them. They didn't make us look foolish this past weekend. Like, they finished the game like they should. So I like Seattle here. I know the number's big. Fine with me.
I'll take it up to 6, dude. I'm with you. I'll save the listeners time and just say yes to all of that. I do think that if anything, Seattle's not getting enough credit. This was only a 3.5 point line preseason. It's only up to 5. I think Tennessee could be the danger zone team where we just look at them and we're like, you know what? That team 2 years ago that beat the Patriots and the Ravens, like, you know, Corey Davis is gone. Like, Jonnu Smith is gone. Taylor Lewan is not healthy. Jack Conklin is gone. Arthur Smith is gone. Like, this is what happens. Like, good teams like that get raided, and now all of a sudden, like, you know, their defense isn't going to bail them out. In fact, it might be worse than last year. So I think that Seattle looked super, super professional in week one. They're amazing in September with Russell Wilson. You mentioned the home crowd. There's almost no number I would not take Seattle here.
No, yeah, over touchdown. But yes, I'm good with Seattle here. All right, let's move it along.
Okay, another one I think we're going to maybe consider here is Kansas City at Baltimore. 3.5 point road favorites, Kansas City. The total's 54.5, which is amazing. Very high.
So there is no consideration to be had here. Pat Mahomes is averaging nearly 370 yards passing a game against the Ravens. The Ravens run a defense called Cover Zero, where they blitz a lot of guys. And no matter the situation, they run Cover Zero. It does not matter.
They killed him last week.
It does not matter if they know it's coming or not. This is what they do. Cover Zero. Guess who knows it's coming? The Chiefs. Every single time they know it's coming. And every single time, they dominate against this defense. And guess what? They're going to do the same exact shit against the Chiefs again. Someone asked me this week, are they going to run Cover Zero, Cover One? Yes, they always do Cover Zero, Cover One. They're not changing what they do. They're stubborn. That's what they do. And the Chiefs offensive line had some issues in protection against the Browns, but this is not that same defense, right? The Ravens are running these pressures without Marcus Peters or without one of their best corners. You can get away with running a lot of man coverage because you have great one-on-one cornerbacks. You don't have that right now, right? Marlon Humphrey's there, obviously, but Peters is not there anymore. So you lost one of those guys that helped you do that. Offensively, their offensive line looked like a wreck. Looked like a wreck. Kansas City should have back Honey Badger, Frank Clark, and Gay at linebacker. They're going to be better on defense. They're going on the road. And unlike last year, they actually finished a game, which was nice to see, right? They finished a game as they should have. And they played well against the Ravens. They've only covered one of the last three wins they had. But remember, they were up 30-10 a couple years ago, and Baltimore had that furious fourth quarter comeback where Lamar threw two arm punts, if you recall, and they caught both of them. I think the Chiefs here go to Baltimore and handle business.
I'm with you, Jeff. Mahomes undefeated in September, 12-3 against the spread. Last year, Lamar Jackson had 28 passing attempts against Kansas City when they played, threw for 97 yards. Clearly, this offense is not even as good as it was last year, which is kind of hard to fathom. The Baltimore offensive line did not look ready for primetime. Ronnie Stanley looked like a total mess, which was – I did not have that one on my bingo card. And you mentioned the cover zero, which is – if that doesn't stop Zay Jones, it's not stopping Tyreek Hill.
Correct.
So let's go. Chiefs, lock it in. If we're going to take the Jets, we got to take the Chiefs. We got to offset our karma a little bit.
Exactly.
All right, we've got the Monday night game as our last game, which is the strangest line of all time. It's the Packers laying 11 against Detroit. I think it's pretty safe to say we're not going to bet this one, Jeff. But what do you think is going to happen in this? Unless maybe you like the Lions.
I think the Packers kick their ass.
Okay.
They're a veteran team. They got embarrassed. They're going to come out and kick their ass. What you do is you put your money in the Chiefs. You put the money in Pat Mahomes over passing yards. You put over points, and you put money on the Chiefs to cover that game. Then Monday night, you kick your feet up, just enjoy Monday Night Football with your wins from this week. And end of story. There's nothing to say about this game. The Lions had a furious comeback to cover that game, barely. It depends what number you got, out of the blue. They're going to get smoked in this game. Jared Goff looked terrible, and the Packers coming off an embarrassing, embarrassing loss.
Yeah, Jared Goff looked pretty good in the second half, if you caught any of it. He looked actually kind of amazing.
The last 2 minutes of the game.
Yeah, true. There's an injury in the Lions receiving corps. I forget who it is. Maybe it's Tyrell Williams. I forget, but they're down a man there. I actually considered making an argument for Green Bay. This line actually moved 3 points, but also the Packers could just end up being a dumpster fire. It's possible, and the 11 is just strange. Yeah, we do. 11's a weird number. They do own the Lions, and Rodgers loves get right against a division opponent in prime time. This is a great teaser game. If we have another tease or two, this is a really good teaser game.
I am
get
with
this one
you.
Under a touchdown.
I'm with you there. All right, you ready?
Yeah.
Rams favored by 3.5. Dolphins +3.5 at home. Jets +6 at home. Seattle -5. Kansas City -3.5. I feel like we got a good mix here of traditional hold your nose and bet games, and also just freak it. We're gonna be with the public this week.
Yeah, we've got Vikings and Cowboys as barely missing the cut. You've got your Florida first half money line against Alabama. I like Dallas on the money line. That's a fun one potentially on late afternoon Thursday or Sunday.
I'm with you there. All right, guys, please rate, review, subscribe. I hope you like the more podcasts. We've got some good feedback on those. If you're listening this long, congratulations. I appreciate Hank's dad. Hank's dad listens to our show, Matt. Can you believe that?
Wow.
He said he loves our show. And so I'm honored to have the listen of producer Hank's father. So I appreciate everyone listening to the show. Really appreciate the feedback at Jeff Schwartz on Twitter. Take care. We'll talk to you guys Monday. Have a good one.